that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. A Very Chico Nutcracker. A new vision of the classic holiday ballet that weaves in details of Chico and its history. It's on stage at Chico State's Laxon Auditorium tonight and through the weekend. We'll be talking today with Chico Community Ballet's Deborah Yoritsma about how she transformed the ballet into a special holiday celebration for Chicoans young and old. We'll also be talking with the ballet's two lead dancers. For many years, 1078 Gallery was one of Chico's favorite venues for art. It's been absent from the Chico scene for a few months as it looks for a new permanent home. But the good news is, it's making a return this weekend at its latest temporary pop-up location. It's hosting an exhibit called Stories 6, in which leading artists present works which reflect their personal stories as residents of Chico and the surrounding areas. We talk today with several of those artists. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
Reading's Riverfront Playhouse features the holiday favorite, A Christmas Carol, adapted from the story by Charles Dickens. See this classic tale on stage tonight or tomorrow at 7:30 or Sunday at 2. This weekend is your final chance to see a Reading Yuletide tradition at the Cascade Theater, Cascade Christmas 2017. This high-spirited spectacle features music, dance, and illusions with an all-new story. Showtimes are tonight at 7 o'clock, tomorrow at 2 and 7. The closing performance is Sunday at 2. Also on Sunday, the Reading Civic Auditorium presents A Charlie Brown Christmas live on stage. Join Charlie, Snoopy, Lucy, Linus, and the rest of the Peanuts gang in this beloved special come to life, featuring the iconic score by Vince Guaraldi. Only one performance, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. On Wednesday, Pink Martini comes to Reading's Cascade Theater for an all-new holiday show featuring lead singer Chyna Forbes. This popular little orchestra draws inspiration from Hollywood musicals of the 1940s and 50s, adding their own jazz, lounge, and multicultural flavors. Pink Martini, in the seasonal spirit for December, starts its show at 7:30. Silk Sensations is the exhibit opening today at the Orland Arts Center. This show features works by accomplished artist Tanya Mead Mullen, who specializes in using dyes on silk. You can meet the artist at a reception, which is going on right now and lasts till 7 at the Art Center. Chico Theater Company's current production, It's a Wonderful Life, the musical. This tuneful stage version breathes new life into the classic holiday film. Curtain times are 7:30 tonight and tomorrow, with a 2 o'clock Sunday matinee. At Chico State, the Jackie Headley University Art Gallery features the exhibit Vanished, a chronicle of loss and discovery across 500,000 years. The gallery, located in the new Arts and Humanities building, is open Monday through Friday, 10 to 4, and Saturday, 12 to 4. In the same building as the University Gallery, the Janet Turner Print Museum hosts The Meaning of Life, Visual Anthology. At this exhibit of art prints and the printed word, contemplate the significance of life. The Turner's open Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. In Paradise, Theater on the Ridge presents a Christmastime comedy mystery, The Games Afoot, or Homes for the Holidays. In the 1930s, an actor, who's famous for portraying Sherlock Holmes on stage, has to become a sleuth himself when murder interrupts the Yuletide festivities. This madcap whodunit plays tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 and Sunday at 2. In Yuba City, the Acting Company presents the comedy drama A 1940s Radio Christmas Carol on Christmas Eve at a hole-in-the-wall radio studio in Newark, New Jersey. The Feddington Players attempt to broadcast their take on the Dickens tale. Nothing is going right. See this play tonight or tomorrow at 7:30 or Sunday at 2. That's the calendar for this week. Born on today's date, R&B singer-songwriter Lou Rawls. Music, Rawls believed, is the greatest communication in the world. Even if people don't understand the language that you're singing in, they still know good music when they hear it.
Very Chico Nutcracker. It's a local spin on a holiday classic, and it's on stage at Chico State's Loxon Auditorium tonight, twice tomorrow, and then once again on Sunday, produced by the Chico Community Ballet. And I have the choreographer of the ballet right here, Deborah Yuritsma.
Hi, Tom.
When did this idea come up to do a customized version of this holiday ballet with a Chico spin on it?
It's actually been an idea I've had for a number of years. Last year, we definitely needed to redo sets and costumes. With that and a lot of fundraising, we decided to bring that to life. What's really wonderful about it is I got a chance to do a lot of research on our local history, put into the ballet the different elements that I find absolutely charming about our North State area, and bring it to stage. And it's still the traditional Nutcracker, but it's got a lot of feelings of our Chico area.
Well, tell us some of the Chico-based elements that you've brought into this ballet.
I based it off of Dr. Stansberry's family. I did a tour of the house, and I found in his daughter's bedroom, she had postered it with pictures from all over the world. And all of a sudden I said, perfect time period when they were actually here in Chico. She really inspired me because she was also an art teacher for many years at Chico High. She lived in that Stansberry house till she died. And the posters gave a real purpose for the second act of Nutcracker. And then other elements that I added into it, I love wildflowers, so instead of Land of the Sweets, we have Land of the Wildflowers. There's a famous snow scene. We don't particularly get snow, but if you've ever sat in an almond orchard during the spring, it's snowing. It's blossoming around downtown. Those beautiful flowering trees are all just perfect for that scene. So we have an incredible almond blossom scene. And we've added a new element this year, which is just stunning. Our Waltz of the Flowers is actually Waltz of the Poppies. It really has a lot of personal touches of our area, but keeps with the tradition of the Nutcracker.
Well, Deborah, why don't you introduce our lead ballerina here?
Our lead dancer this year is Tirza Panuto. She's dancing the role. Traditionally, it's a Clara or a Marie, but because I'm basing it off the Stansberry family, it's going to be Angeline and then her brother, Middleton. So we use the Stansberry family on stage.
Have you danced this ballet before?
Yeah, this is my fifth Nutcracker.
How is it different for you being in the regular Nutcracker and now in the very Chico Nutcracker?
I can definitely see like more things that are relatable, like driving around Chico and seeing the almond blossoms and then portraying that on stage.
Have you been by the Stansberry House, which is quite a landmark in Chico?
Yes, I have.
So was it like taking yourself mentally and emotionally back to that time period when that house housed a famous family in Chico?
Well, it gave me more of like a purpose of how to portray the character because it was something local I could see.
Tirza, you're playing Angeline. What age is your character at the beginning of the show?
I'd say she's around like 14.
You take quite a ride. It's rather fantastical. I mean, it starts, you're in the middle of a Christmas celebration with the family. Tell me about how the ballet opens.
Well, the ballet opens with the crossover scene where all the party guests are coming out and they're on their way to the Christmas party. It's about all the things that are happening in the town, and there's a market. Drosselmeyer is setting up some things that are going to happen later on in the party scene.
He's like an uncle to your character?
Yeah.
And he's kind of a magician almost, right?
Yeah.
Then when does the Christmas magic start happening?
It's in the middle of the party scene and everyone has just gotten their gifts and everyone's excited. And out of nowhere, everyone freezes and Drosselmeyer appears on stage. It's quite a shock to Angeline. Because all of a sudden everyone's frozen, then he unfreezes everyone, and he begins with all of his magic.
So, Tirza, what's it like to dance in the middle of this classic Christmas scene and this fantastical Christmas story?
Well, there's definitely a lot of energy on stage, and it's really nice to feed off of all of that. And with all these new sets and everyone's all excited about everything, it's really nice.
How old were you when you first saw the Nutcracker? Just saw it from the audience.
My first Nutcracker, I believe I was 5 when I saw it.
Describe your impression of the Nutcracker when you were 5 years old.
Well, I knew when I started watching my first ballets that I wanted to do that because it just seemed so magical up there on the stage. So perfect. It was very cool as a little girl.
So what's it been like for you going through, I assume, lots of productions where you play supporting children and that sort of thing, and now you're the main character? What's it like transitioning from just being in the core to being the main character?
Well, being in the core and then going to being the lead, it's more like you're adding your own personal character to the role, and that's been really cool to portray it sort of the way I think it should be portrayed.
We also have another dancer from a very Chico Nutcracker, Jake Bevins. He plays the title character. You're playing a wood Nutcracker, is that right?
Yeah. Basically, when Angeline is at the party scene, Drosselmeyer gifts her with this small wooden Nutcracker. Later, as the night progresses, she has this dream where he comes to life. That's where I come in.
What's it like in that first section of the show playing a Nutcracker in a big mask and everything because you're supposed to look like a toy?
It's actually difficult to make it look alive. You know, having that big mask, you can't use your facial expressions or anything, so you have to pay attention more to your movements to really make it come across and read.
How long have you been dancing, Jake?
Oh, I've been dancing 20 years now.
Did you start out in Chico as a dancer?
I actually started in Central Oregon, danced there for a few years, and then moved down here in 2000. And I was 10 years old at that time, and that's when I started up with Chico Community Ballet.
What's it like being back in town and being the guest artist for this ballet?
It's great. I've been here every year now for a while doing different ballets in the Nutcracker, and it's so fun to come home and see people that you've grown up with, you know, that are still around and a part of the productions. Of course, Debbie, who's been my teacher for years and years and years, I owe her so much, and it's lovely to work with her, and we have a great friendship. It's just a pleasure.
At the heart of it, why do you like to dance in ballet?
Ballet in particular just has something that's ingrained. It's been around for, you know, years and years and years now. It has such a structure and a basis to it and an elegance that's just unparalleled to other dance styles. I wish I did ballet more. I don't do it as much as I used to, but when I do get a chance to do it, it really takes me back. Just, you know, the countless hours that I've practiced, all that, it really floods back and just feels kind of magical.
Tirza, what's best about the experience of dancing for you?
It's just such an amazing way to express yourself without words, which is really nice, and to just let everything go.
What is it you're letting go that you want to get rid of?
You can let go of any stress that you have or anything that you're worried about, and you can just sort of move.
Deborah, give us a pitch again about why families would want to go to the Nutcracker, a very Chico Nutcracker at Chico State's Loxon Auditorium tonight or tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon or Sunday afternoon.
It's a perfect family event. And one of the special surprises, too, as people are coming into the theater, you're going to be watching a slideshow of beautiful old pictures of Chico. And then as we start the ballet, you'll start to see photos of the Stansberry family. It's just a great way to start the holiday season. The music is enchanting. The dancing is beautiful. It's visually going to be just heartwarming. We want people to walk out feeling like they are transformed into the late 1800s and walk out with a sense of history behind them.
I hear that on tomorrow's matinee, everybody, and especially the kids, will get to meet and get autographs from the dancers.
It's one of our special events. After the performance, we have a number of our cast members come out in costume, and so kids can have photos with them, get their autographs on their programs, and get to see them up close, which I think even adds more magic to this whole holiday event.
Tirza, when you danced this Chico version of the Nutcracker before, what was it like greeting small girls who were enchanted by the whole scene and have them meet you?
It's always so cool to see their faces light up when they see you and, you know, you do something on point. It just reminded me of me when I was little, and it inspires me even more to keep dancing.
A very Chico Nutcracker. It is on stage at Loxon Auditorium at Chico State University tonight at 7:30. It's on stage again tomorrow night at 7:30 and tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock. And the final performance is 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday. I want to thank our guests for coming in and talking about the ballet.
Thanks, Tom.
Dolores Mitchell. Today I'm going to solve a mystery that must be in many listeners' minds. Where is the 1078 Gallery, this gem of Chico cultural life that seems to have disappeared? Cameron Kelly, can you tell us?
1078 is on the move. You will be seeing us very soon show up somewhere in downtown Chico. We are pursuing actively available spaces, and we are very much looking forward to having a new gallery space. In the meantime, we are having two pop-up exhibitions. One will be at Manka in January. And one is Story 6. This exhibition, Story 6, began 6 years ago, and this particular group of artists were invited by Thomason Sachs before 1078 had to move. When I recently became a homeowner, I knew what I needed to do, volunteer my house. It's important to have a gathering place for artists and creative people to meet, exchange ideas, talk about each other's work, keep us moving forward.
Where can people visit your house?
My house is on 12th and Salem at Salem Street. The address is 1143 Salem Street. Our reception is Saturday during the day. All are welcome. It's from 2 to 4 p.m. The show ends December 23rd. This exhibition titled Stories has really prompted me to be thinking about what happens when five artists come together with a very rich background in both Chico and also public engagement and service to the arts. I've been thinking about how each person will contribute and also how I can contribute to them. I've been thinking about my role as a facilitator, mostly. So when you come to the show, you will not be seeing objects by me necessarily. You'll be in my home. So I'll be hosting you. I'll be thinking about how you view the artwork and how you experience the exhibition.
Let's talk to one of the founders of 1078 Gallery, Lynette Cray.
The gallery was started in 1981 by Gray Garnett. Originally, it had been owned by the sculpting teacher at CSU Chico, Val Zarns. He made it into a studio, and it used to be the Odyssey Bar. It became a vanity gallery where each artist had to put up their own work and pay for everything down to being their own gallery attendant and doing the reception and the press coverage. When we took it over, we went on a few years there, and then we moved it over to Fifth Street, where a whole community of people came together and we moved in. At that time, we started to get funding from the California Arts Council as well as the National Endowment for the Arts. So it brought in a whole array of artists from all over as well. We tried to devote a lot to multiculturalism, women, and then certain social issues. We were there for many years. We moved to Broadway, a fabulous venue for music, literary events, performance, and the arts.
I'm talking now to Maria Navarro, who will tell us a little bit about stories as an idea for an exhibition. This is the sixth year that the December Holiday Festival of Stories has taken place.
The Story Six was an idea of Thomasine Sachs. She invited a group of artists, and the idea was that she would ask questions to the artists as props. And with those questions, she would produce, in company with people that would help her, books with the backgrounds of the artists and what they were doing and how they answered the questions. This year, we are going to have those little books for us to give away. I hope you can come and pick up your book.
I'm talking to John Farrell, who was also one of the founding members of 1078. John, what are you putting into the show?
I'm exhibiting a series of paintings entitled The Eight Elements of the Yin and Yang. In this series of paintings, I start off with a bas relief of Chinese words representing the elements. I try to put together some perverse elements and make it flow.
I have to ask about this word perverse.
I'm using various methods of paint application that are forced air on the surface, burning and pouring of the paints, and then distressing them and then coaxing them into their final stage.
Jason Tannen, you're going to be showing a series of photographs.
I have been photographing for about the last 30 years. My work is primarily focused on the urban environment. Once I did photograph a tree, but I didn't do anything with it. To me, urban is not only big city. I also have been really interested in smaller towns and cities, especially in Northern California. I'm really interested and preoccupied with different forms of commercial display. Mainly that means commercial storefronts. I'm particularly interested in signs, symbols, and icons that can be found particularly in smaller non-corporate storefronts. So the idea of useful or functional products with things that I would call future fossils, things that are really on their way out, but they've been retained and they're being presented in this framework. I'm going to have 12 photographs. I mainly print in black and white. I've always been really enchanted with black and white. But with this series, one of the things that I noticed was a lot of these materials, especially printed material, if it's in a store window for any amount of time, the image becomes degraded by sunlight. And so a lot of what used to be full-color posters or advertisements or whatever, the sun has bleached them to be blue and red. I'm really interested in that. That was one of the reasons I started printing these in color. It's, like I said, 12 photographs in color. I'm also really interested in the fact that we're showing not in a white cube, not in a gallery, but in a living space, a home environment. I'm really interested. All of these images incorporate windows in some way or another, and the work will be in a living space with windows, maybe separating the images. It's very exciting, and I'm looking forward to it.
I'm going to look back at Lynette Cray again to find out what she is going to be doing in the show. Are you being as destructive as John is with your materials?
We will see. I plan on 9 8x10s. These will be on paper, mounted on board. I'm using dye-based ink, bleach, and then a little bit of acrylic. And what I do is I coat the paper with a dye-based, and then I draw into it with India ink, and then I go in with the bleach, and then it burns into the paper. The result reminds me of when I used to batik with wax on fabric. There's those kind of fun little mistakes, and that's what the bleaching does. Since ink is so tight, the bleach lends it to be very spontaneous because you don't know if it's going to ruin it, and then you go from there. The work will be reflecting some of what we went through with all the comedy and chaos of the new election. And then there will be some, let's say, small childhood stories in a surrealistic way.
Cameron, I know that you are contributing something in addition to having this be at your house. What are you going to be doing?
Well, I really took this prompt of stories literally. When Thomason gave us a series of questions, some of the questions included describing our surroundings. And at the time, I was just handed the keys to my new home. So I took that prompt and ran with it. I'm really thinking about the stories of the objects in my home. I'll be revealing some of that, and some of it will be left up to interpretation.
Maria Navarro, can you say a bit about what you'll have in the exhibit?
I'm going to bring my very recent pieces, and some of them are going to be unfinished. And I want to welcome collaboration with whoever appears there and wants to collaborate with me in finishing some of the pieces.
Cameron, can you give us a rundown again on the location?
My home / gallery, located at 1143 Salem Street at 12th Street. Story 6, gallery hours are Thursday through Saturday, 12:30 to 5:30 p.m.
Thank you.
That's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program at its regular broadcast time, you can hear it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.